I am unashamed. What about you?
Elbows come up for a visit to Unashamed.
Yeah.
I think there's a...
Okay, thank you. All right, well...
I still got a copy.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
I guess maybe I was inspired by Phil's, you know, when he told us about his dream. I woke up because a lot of people had interacted with me over our discussion on the Outlaw Josie Wales, because I would not hire a guy for the simple fact in the duck call room that I would say 25% of the conversation in the duck call room on a yearly level discusses the movie Outlaw Josie Wales. So there was a guy that I said, all right, he wanted a job. I said, go home, watch Outlaw Josie Wales. We'll come back tomorrow, see where we're at. He came back. I said, okay, how was the movie? And he said, well, I didn't watch it. I said, well, you're fired.
Said, you may go now.
You didn't even hire me.
He got fired before he got hired. That's
right. Yeah,
you I may said, go now, which is the tombstone line.
You had one job. That was the test. Because
and it was a very enjoyable test because he didn't know what he missed.
He didn't know what he missed.
So it's the greatest like, Western
you
of
can't
all time.
Work here. I mean, the greatest Western of all time, the Outlaw Josie Wales. So. I feel good about that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
See?
I've heard about it. We were just talking about this last night, and I said, I need to see it because you guys talk about it all the time.
You've never seen that?
I've never seen it.
You're
okay. Okay. You may go now.
Let's introduce.
You're not going to be on our podcast.
Zach.
If you've never watched
this. Is Zach Dasher, formerly my cousin.
He's now entering a probationary period of whether he can remain a cousin in this
first cousin.
I've always wondered what was wrong with you, because all of us have quirks.
Well, y'all got our issues.
How did you go this far and miss that? You haven't heard us talk about it?
Yeah, I have. I mean, you guys have referenced it like 1,000 times, and last night I'm having this conversation with Gary, and I said, I got to see that movie, because they talk about it, all these quotes, and I just haven't seen
disturbing.
It.
Disturbing.
Hey, so, Gary's seen it?
Oh, he's seen it, yeah.
See?
I mean, sorry I got sidetracked here, but I'm in shock because I thought all of our family members were at least on board with that.
I'll get
so,
on board.
So we've talked a lot about Jan, Dad's youngest sister, passed away last year. So Zach is Jan's son. So our audience is familiar with Jan because we talk about her a lot. So she's the one that basically is the reason why you became a Christian, because she wouldn't give up and basically got you to the right people.
And so, by the way, she led many more people to the Lord also. I mean, she got it.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see her again.
Yep.
So I woke up, and this just came to me, and I wanted to share this with you. Y'all have no idea what I'm going to go over. Yeah, I told Alice.
By the way, podcast audience, this is the way it goes. Like, we're fixing to hear this for the first time, so we're reacting with you.
Taking a momentary pause from our normal scheduled broadcasting.
There are no notes for this one, boys.
Because I woke up, and I thought, man, all these people are sending me these messages saying, thank you for introducing the Outlaw Josie Wales. And so I thought.
So I'm not alone.
Yeah, there were other people, yeah. But I assumed they were youngsters. I didn't think somebody in my own family of your age was dumb enough to miss this. I mean, whenever we feel strongly about something, okay, I get it that you probably shouldn't listen to us unless we have a duck call in a hand or the Bible.
And by the way, the movie's like 35 years old, so.
Who's counting now? Yeah. So what I did is I woke up this morning without, there's no prep to this. And I thought, okay, it took me the normal 5 minutes to realize I was still alive. Where am I?
Yeah, because you don't really just snap too.
I know. I think it's a problem that's going to cause some issues. Because
I mean, I wouldn't know that except when we were on vacation together. I get to kind of see how everybody, Willie wakes up like a bear coming out of a den. With hair everywhere, and Jason's like just spaced out.
And he's a man that's never been drunk.
Right.
Never been drunk.
And yet he's already told us before he's in a fog.
But like me, I woke up, but I knew what was causing my where am I?
I will interject that.
But here's a non-alcohol man.
Okay. Well, I'm having withdrawals from being high on Jesus. Because I did share Jesus. All day yesterday and night. We'll save that story for later because it's a long one, but it was good. So I introduced Jesus to some hellions who needed it. I was once again cornered, and when cornered, you come out firing. If you corner me dropping F-bombs, I have one method. I am really fixing to make you think about those three questions. How you got on the earth, what are you doing here, and how are you leaving? So let me introduce a five-letter word to you. You're giving me a four, I'm giving you a five. They were kind of young punks, you know. So,
right.
And trust me, at the end of the conversation, the momentum had turned. There were no more F-bombs being dropped. That's a story for a different time. So
I want to hear that story.
I came up with 9 Western awards for our audience.
And was this? Did you dream this? Because you said something earlier about a dream.
I just figured that since it came to me after
the dream,
I woke up. I don't remember my dreams, but. Yeah.
Do you ever quote Thomas Jefferson in your dream?
No, Phil kind of inspired me on that because I was like, I'm going to try to remember what I dreamed tonight, but couldn't do it.
I mean, I dreamed about things where I'm walking with Thomas Jefferson. So, you know what?
Well,
I'm
you wearing? Do kind of have a Mount okay. Rushmore face.
Hey.
I mean, you already see Dad's new book cover. You know, a dad yeah. looks like he could go on, right?
Really so does. I want to give the – this is – you won't read this in a book. There's no – these are the Jace – me. Western Awards.
Western Awards.
Number one. The best Western with the most one-liners. Tombstone.
Yep. I can't agree. That.
I have seen Tombstone.
You have to. I was going to say, if you hadn't seen Tombstone, you're out of here.
I'm telling you, I was shutting this down. If you
no, I've got, and I've got a lot of it memorized.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got all the lines.
I know. Let's have a spelling contest.
I have used myself. Yeah. Poor soul, he's just too high strung.
You know what's another funny classic. To me is when I look over at my wife, you know, I'm kind of getting in the mood, I'm feeling the vibe, boy. And I said, well, darling, are you wearing a bustle? She just stone-faced.
I have no idea what I'm talking about. She's probably, did she ever watch
what's the old guy's name?
No.
Doc Holliday?
Oh, that was Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer. He should have won an Academy Award.
Yes.
Oh, it
burns me up.
Rob.
When movies like that and when acting performances like that go unnoticed.
Yeah.
That's why I have the Jace Awards. Okay. Number two, the best music. You want to guess? In an old Western.
Best music in an old Western.
See, y'all are not in tune. Because it's obvious. The good, bad, and the ugly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when I heard, and then at the end, think of how many commercials when they have the standoff.
They use that.
They use that. I mean, I think it's from Spain, France, somewhere, that yeah. music. Somebody actually took
Italy.
Our duck footage. Maybe it was Italian.
Yeah.
And made a like a highlight duck footage to that music.
Was it awesome? Did it make it better?
It was awesome. Yeah. And I also added a little note. They also, I thought, had the best close-ups. They like introduced the close-up to the old Western, you know, as in, you know, you're looking into their eyes. And
well, that was the old, Sergio Leone, wasn't he the director?
Yeah. I like the soundtrack on Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yeah, well, I thought about that
when
you mentioned
that's a different category. I'm getting to that movie. That did make the top 9.
Well,
and that's the same director, right? Did he direct the Eastwood
movie? I don't think
so. Oh, is it different?
All right, all of these are completely positive, but this is, I don't know, I just, like I said, I woke up and I wrote these down. The best Western you only watch once, Dances with Wolves.
Too long, yeah.
It seemed like I lost a third of my life there. I love the movie.
It was really good.
And you need to watch it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I've never gone back.
Yeah.
Because I thought, man, I'm dying here.
But what's funny, though, Jace, is that it's probably not any longer than The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, because that's a long movie. But somehow the way they wrapped it up, it just didn't.
I think it's Kevin Costner. I think it's Kevin Costner.
It's more of a drama. It's not as much fighting. Action.
Right.
More like,
I view Kevin Costner like Cy. He's great in small doses.
Yeah.
But the longer it goes on, I'm out. Although he did make the list for another movie. All right. Which is the next one? The best realistic gunfight in a Western.
Open Range.
You are correct, sir. Very impressive. Open Range. After you wake up. About midway through the movie. I love the movie, but
It starts snooze slow.
Fest first half.
It's a little bit slow.
And then all of a sudden, because in all these Westerns, they miss something. Because I always put myself in these Westerns. What would I do? I'm not going up there having a conversation before we have a duel. When we walk out there, boom, which is what happened in that movie. Yeah.
Which is the greatest duel ever. When he just walked up and he was like, you're the one that hit, beat up my friend? Boom.
I've got a tip.
I enjoyed doing it. Boom.
He said, and I enjoyed it too. Boom. He gone. So then they started backing up because that's how it go. And there were people missing because you're nervous.
He knew that was the one guy he had to deal with. Everybody else is just a bunch of ranch hands, you know.
Having shot many firearms, what they did with that, whoever was the head of the audio, that's what those rifles, you know, the old Henry rifles, whatever they were shooting there.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of sound they
Plus
made.
It was
they
most,
had that sound of the weapons. That's what they sounded
like. And most shots were missed, which would be realistic.
Yep.
Didn't hit the target.
That's right.
And the old boy about, you know, that was behind
with the shotgun.
I don't know how they did that.
It looked amazing.
But, you know, if you shoot something at close range, of course, this is a movie. I mean, so we're not being morbid. But, I mean, if you shoot something at close range, it's going the other way. And somebody had thought about that.
Yeah.
And but that movie also had one of my all-time favorite lines. When the old guy says, the old Irish guy, he's like, "You shot me." And he says, "And for what? Yeah. More cows?"
Yeah.
That's like
cows. Yeah.
That line.
Well, the other line, it had some good lines in it. When he asked him, you know, right before they went into the battle, he said, I want to know your name, you know? And I mean, of all things, he thought he's fixed to say.
I like the old guy. Said, he said, "I tell you what, these Cuban cigars got me all riled up."
He said, "Old timer, did you get hurt in the gunfight?" He said, "No, I fell off a stool. These Cuban cigars got me all hopped up, you know?"
Yeah, because they all got their cigars to get them going. All right, that was good. Best sound effects. They Call Me Trinity, and that whole series of movies. And those were comedy westerns, but the reason I put best sound effects, there's just something about, if you haven't seen those movies.
It's been a few years since.
The opening scene, I'm not sure it was They Call Me Trinity or one of those movies. When he
there's
takes
like three
that,
of them, right?
Oh, there's more than that.
Oh, really?
There's like 10. I've seen them all. That's why I get them all mixed up. When he took that black iron skillet plate of beans, and that wasn't like some kind of edited. He ate that entire pan. That's an insane of beans. I thought that dude is a bomb.
you know what I mean? That later.
Have y'all not seen that movie?
Well, it's been years. It's been. Yeah. Oh, the Trinity series is good.
Oh, look, Phil, the guy goes to draw a pit. This guy's like, he like introduced Kung Fu before Kung Fu was cool. In the Western
this is before
scene.
He ate all the beans or after?
After he ate the beans, he like somebody would go to grab his pistol and he'd slap them. You know,
were spaghetti Westerns. They were made in the same time Eastwood was doing his thing.
They're comedies.
But it was at the time, I guess, a no-name guy. I don't even remember the actor, but he was in all of them.
Oh, they're
really
awesome.
Good.
Yeah. The people listening to this.
The blonde-headed dude?
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor and watch those because you will laugh. But the sound effects is what makes it because it ain't just he'll pop them, but he'll
I'm laughing just thinking about it.
Missy will come in there. I'm on the floor. She's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm watching this movie." And she's like, "That thing's 50 years old." I was like, "It is still funny right now." I was like, "Make me a pan of beans."
Want to go back and
I was like, "Make me a pan of beans, woman," because that's how you talk back there. And she's like, "Excuse me?" you got to see the movie. All right. The most underrated Western. You want to take a shot at it?
Most underrated.
This is Phil inspired. Phil put me on to this one. Valdez is Coming.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is the best movie you've never heard of.
Yeah.
It stars Charlton Heston.
Yeah, Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston.
That's not who it is?
No.
Who's that guy?
No.
I
can't remember his name, but I mean, he played a lot of good roles.
This is why you have a black box.
Wow.
Is somebody on that?
Wow.
It's not that. Al, you look that up. That.
It's going to take way star. More than that to get me get one of them in my hand. I'll tell you that right
Maybe
now.
Maybe it's, is it your Brenner?
No.
Al,
that he looks not, he does look like Charlton Heston if it's not. All right, do you want to take a break before I give the next one?
Do I?
You want to take our break before I give
the find next out that actor now? Yeah, you got is. Me. Yeah, you got me. I want to find
All right, hang
out.
On. Let's take a break, then we'll go. So, you know, we found out, Dad, that you're not a big cell phone guy, of course, but cell phones have actually played a pretty pivotal role.
I'm not any cell phone.
That was the understatement of the year.
I was just trying to make a casual comment I'll about that and cell phones.
Be brutally blunt.
I avoid them like cotton mouth.
But everybody else, this is kind of how they've been able to communicate during the coronavirus, because a lot of times people can't get face-to-face. So they've been important sort of in the Zooms, and Jason does all the Zoom stuff. So anyway, we got a company here, Patriot Mobile, that is a cell phone company. And what we like about them is that they kind of have the same belief system that we do. Basically, you know, they don't like Planned Parenthood and leftist people and causes. And so they make sure that that they're supportive of some of the same people that we like. So we'd love for you to give these guys a try. Switching is easy. You keep your own phone number. You can bring your phone or buy a new one. So right now they've got an offer, patriotmobile.com/Phil. You can get a customized family plan. It's just $25, which is pretty cheap. So it's patriotmobile.com/Phil, or you can give them a call at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/Phil, $25. Give them a shot.
So a cell phone without filth.
There you go. Okay.
Who was it?
I remember now. Burt Lancaster.
Yeah, okay. Burt Lancaster. I said Charlton Heston. I was close. Yeah.
No, and Charlton Heston.
Burt Lancaster. That's
who
I meant.
Could not step into Burt Lancaster's shoes.
I knew who the guy was. I've seen this movie 100 times, but I don't know why I thought Charlton Heston. It actually changed my view where if somebody does something for me as a favor, how you ask somebody to do a favor and they have a certain set of skills and they're like, oh, no charge.
I mean, the ending was great.
It was. I offer $200 because of that movie. So I don't want to go into it because I don't want to ruin the movie, but $200. It's awesome.
It's been a few years.
So
have you ever seen Valdez's
Coming?
I haven't
seen that one either.
All right.
So I've got
to save this list so we can send it home.
Shallow of a person. Look, your maturity level has fallen to new. I was always wondering what your problem is. Now I know you hadn't watched no good westerns. I mean, this movie changed my life, how I deal with people. They're like, what's the charge? I'm like, $200.
Lancaster.
People have said that many times.
Yeah, he plays a Mexican, but it is really good. He did a good job.
And I'm like, they said, what is the $200 for? I was like, for the family, the kids. It's just a respect thing.
It's a respect thing.
Yeah. This guy, a crime was committed. I'm not ruining the movie for you because in the first 60 seconds, you realize a crime was committed. And Burt Lancaster said, I think we should give his family a little money because they got his wife. They got the wrong guy. They were after a guy and they got him. They went up there and they went, whoops, wrong guy. That's what the whole movie is about. He's like, well, what about this woman? And it's actually a really good movie about overcoming prejudices, because they looked at his wife and she was an old woman, largely
Indian woman,
big woman, and they're like, we're not helping her, because they viewed her as nothing. And he's like, oh no, we're helping her. And the whole movie is about that. He's like, I think we should give her $200. So you watch that movie, enjoy. Okay.
I got, I know
this is getting long.
It was 100.
No, but if he got 100, the other person would match it.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Theoretically, that's right. It was 200. Yeah. Even though he was only asking for 100 the whole movie, he had somebody to match it because they were like, good luck getting $100 out of them. And they had thousands, but they wouldn't do it because they thought, I mean, they basically said, it's a fat Indian. We're not going to help her. That was their thought.
That's
and he's
right.
like, but you killed her husband. I mean, that's what the movie's about.
So enjoy. Really, it's kind of a early version of social justice. That's
reparation. It's an awesome, awesome movie. Times 10. All right.
best payoff at the end. Western with the best payoff at the end, which Phil introduced earlier, Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yeah.
Because you basically are wondering...
Yeah, what's the motivation?
The whole movie, it's like 5 hours long. And you're wondering...
It is long.
What does it mean? When I first watched it, I was like... This is the worst movie. What does it mean? Charles Bronson was in it. The first scene's really good.
Henry Fonda and Charles Bronson.
Jack Elam at the first. Remember the
playing with the fly and his gun?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. And
that, I was thinking about that with the close ups because, you know, when he looks, Jack Elam had that one eye kind of going off. When he looks down that gun barrel in that close up, that's one of the best shots ever.
And I won't ruin it for you, but Charles Bronson said, "Did you bring a horse for me?" And he said, "Looked like we shy one horse." And he said, "You brought two too many." That's awesome. But then it takes a 2-hour break, and you're wondering, what the heck just happened here?
I had to watch it five times before I figured it all out.
At the end, you're like, oh, yeah.
It's a great movie, but it is long.
Okay, and then we're down to the last two. The best Western that I wish I was in. Category, that's Jeremiah Johnson.
Yeah,
I just wish I would have been in the movie for real, not the movie. I just wish I would have been in that scene, yep. Looking around. I'd like to know how I would have done.
Yeah,
and that's awesome. And then the
Will Gear was so good in that. Remember the old man that was on the Waltons?
He was
Grandpa
good.
Walton.
Well, Phil uses that line once a week about. You know, what day is it? What month? Maybe spring. Nah.
He said, "I don't know." You said, "April." He said, "I don't think it's April."
You couldn't use that apologetic on him.
I think mid-March.
They talking about the rabbit. Yeah. Just whole scene with Jeremiah.
You know, what was the interesting thing about it, Jace, was that movie, which is an awesome movie, inspired me to, look into Jeremiah Johnson. So when I started, because he's a real person. And they used to call him, they called him Liver Eating Johnson because he would eat livers of people. I mean, there was an Indian war with him and the Indians, the Blackfeet Indian. But I mean, it was really interesting because it was
Crow.
Yeah, the Crow. That's right. That's right. The Crow. Feet. You're right. Yeah. I'm thinking about another
story. You got to get your Indian because it was a very good look at indigenous Indians. I mean, they did it about right.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that movie. I get lost in that movie. You know, it just. I don't know. Because I like when he got in that beaver hut, you know. Well, I've done that. Because you thought, well, why'd you do it? I just wanted to see what it looked like in there, you know. Of course, you get in there, and guess what? There's live beavers.
Right.
Yep.
That's bad idea. Get out as quick as possible.
So it was a really interesting portal for me to learn about that era and the Louisiana Purchase and Lewis and Clark, and I mean, there's some amazing stories, great historical story. I mean, some of these are kind of, you know, romanticized for movies, but that talk about some characters and the people that went out across this thing at the beginning. I mean, that's like your era. Dad, you could have fit into that group. You'd have been right there with them. I mean, I've always said Dad was born 100 years
too late.
I've
thought about it many times.
No, I know.
So the guy that the Indians shot him in the leg, and they talked it over, and they said, well. He said, "We got to cut the thing off." True story. You know, peg leg, whatever he was. But he's one of them mountain men. And he said, "If y'all will stay with me through the spring," he made a little deal with them. He said, "If y'all leave me, I'll never make it."
Yeah.
He said, "This thing, y'all going to have to cut this leg off about the knee here." He said, it's gangrene, done got it. And he said, "If y'all will just stay with me, cut it off." You know, and they put a stick in his mouth, you know, and gave him a pretty good little few shots of whiskey and took his leg off.
Woo.
And he sat around to the early spring, the thaw, before they start moving, a few months there. And the true story is, and he was whittling on a little tree that his leg would fit down in and trying to smooth it out, put some hides down in there where he could... You know,
so he made him a prosthetic.
Made him a warriors. Prosthetic leg.
This is his version of. So when they said the rest of his life he lived to be old,
But
they said you could spot him because you'd have would be a footprint in a hole. In a hole.
Yeah.
Yep. I know who that old guy is. Yeah.
Well, because it's
it was fairly easy to track. Back, you know what I'm saying?
Well, back it's underrated. You know, tracking today. Like when I go in the woods, I'm noticing the tracks.
you know. By the way, the backwater's been up for since February, March, April, May, 4 months backwater, high water. And I've been watching, but one of the things I look for is how long it takes the deer to say, okay, let's move back in.
Yep.
So I haven't seen a deer at all. Everything's by boat. Every place over there, it's all flooded. But yesterday, there was just muck, you know, where the water was receding, a little current in the low spots. And I wanted to see if I could drive a four-wheeler through all of it over there without drowning it out instead of a boat.
Yep.
So we're hopping over to vehicles now, I'm hoping. So I start down through there with the eunuch, Dan the eunuch, and deer literally were running in every direction.
That's the sign. The water's not coming back.
They were walking in the muck. The acorns that fell this winter, it was a great acorn crop. They're all washed up in heaps here, there, and there. You know, some acorns don't float. Some of them do. But the ones that floated, they're just washed up. But they're all still fine.
Oh, yeah.
The meat is still there.
Yeah.
But that's what they were eating.
How do they know?
Oh, what are you talking about?
Man, let's take a break.
It's a blast to watch it all unfold, I tell you that.
Let's take a break. So we talk a lot about losing our hair. Although I'm probably the one with the thinnest hair, you know, because we have baldness in our family.
You've spent too much time indoors.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Who's bald? Where'd the bald? On what side?
Well, because Paul was bald, and then Harold was bald.
Yeah.
So they both.
Paul.
Yeah.
Wasn't like bald.
Well, I mean, he had a big bald spot in the middle, kind of like the one I'm starting.
You know what?
To get.
I never noticed.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was there.
I couldn't get past the fact that every time he washed his hair, the water had so much iron in it, it would turn. I mean, bright yellow.
But it may have had something
that
to
was
do
cigarette
with
cigarette smoke.
That's what I'm saying. It may have something to do with that five packs of cigarettes thrown in there too.
I think it was more the water. I thought, I'm drinking this. What's it doing to my insides? Yeah, it's turning your hair yellow.
It's nicotine. That's what it was.
Maybe.
Well, anyway, so I don't know. Maybe this would have been something for our grandpa to go in with the cigarettes and iron in the water. We got a great product for those of you that are losing your hair, especially if you're young guys, because, you know, you want to try to hold on to it as long as you can. So it's called Keeps, to keep your hair. And basically they have generic version of a couple of FDA-approved hair loss products. So you go to their website. You register, you have a consult, make sure that everything is okay since it's something you have to take, and then they ship it to you. So it's keeps.com/door. Keeps.com/door. Check them out and hold on to your hair.
And so the last one, which is where we started, overall Best Western is, of course, Outlaw Josie Wales, that you've ruined by not seeing, because I thought I could speak for the family on that one. But when you think about why it's my favorite, it's filled with lines that we use.
I always want to get up and get some of these big pistol fighters.
Yes.
He said, watch him, Abe. I've seen him do some things.
I was going to bring that up. Greatest one-time scene.
Yeah.
Abe and Lige, shut up, Lige.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they had him hemmed up, and he's like, I bet he's got another
pistol. He put his gun
down. Shut up, Lige.
And one of them said, see, Lige, you pull his teeth, he's harmless as a heel hound.
Well, then he started getting cocky.
Yeah.
And he's like, watch out.
Watch him.
I've heard he's meaner than a rattler and twice as fast with those pistols. Then he's like, bring Vinny and the horse. What I love about that is after, you know, his sidekick says, I got the gold right here. And he's like, what gold's he talking about? He's like, there's no gold. He's crazy.
He's crazy.
They're baiting him.
Boom, boom. But what I like about that is
the look on the guy's face.
Yeah. Well, the look when he spit right between his eyes. But also, you hear the horse run off in the background.
Yeah.
I mean, it's those details that old Vinny said, let's get the heck out of here. You know,
yeah. I'm at it.
But I think, too, when you had the little salesman of the elixir right here, sir. You know, he was even going to take on the mighty outlaw Josie Wales. And to me, the reason I like that movie, and Eastwood's always been good at this, at making it just
He directed that one.
Yeah, kind of graphic, but like real, you know, when he spits in his chest, which now they would never do that in a movie just for because they're like, oh, that's so gross. That might offend somebody, you know.
Well, I remember Dad like spitting on everything around here. Like once that movie came out, all you right. were like,
he spit on the dog, on the you dog. Know, which people find
we
that.
Made
oh,
a,
that
we made a 5-minute scene in one of our DVDs on just spitting.
That's right.
Everybody yeah. would just
because so much time in a duck
blind. People, is, yeah, I mean, man,
but
they
you know,
that out
Chief
in the wild.
Dan George played the Indian, his sidekick Lone Waddy.
Yeah,
and he was Lone Waddy was my favorite character. I mean, as good as Eastwood was, Lone Waddy makes it for me.
He really,
I mean, like
he really
every
did.
Dialogue. Well,
I was going to say that they had the lines, they had the characters, and then the storyline of overcome. I mean, this all happened. All these people were victims of oppression. That he just picked up along the way and felt like they had nothing to lose. I mean, they were mad because, you know, that's just how it was back then. Mm-hmm. Just bad things happened.
He took in the stray dog. They had the Indian squaw. They had the Lone Waddy. Oh, yeah. I mean, he just kind of had him a little troop.
Some
going.
Old woman running her mouth. Hey,
yeah. I mean, they did. Come on.
He said, well, you don't want to be coming with me because people, you know, people that hook up with me get killed. He said, I noticed that people you don't like get killed.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, Zach. So now you're right.
I'll check it out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, thanks.
Well, that was a review.
So anyway, but here's one you left
out. A film review.
So this is what happens when you make a list.
I only made 9 because
I know
usually we have a top 10. And so what I was going to say to our viewers, I left one place.
That's good.
Because, look, I was asleep. I woke up and I jotted this down. I made this list in less than 3 minutes. So I'm sure I left one out, and that spot's for you.
All right. So
based on the founding of America, if any group of individuals that can't appreciate the review he went through, if you don't like those kind of movies, there's something wrong with you. You know what? Based
Zach,
on our
yeah, there's painting with a broad
brush.
A lot
of people would pay thousands of dollars for counseling to see where it all went wrong, and now you found it for free. Just one little
just
pile.
One
I've seen the majority of those.
So my ad. You think about what you would add to it. One that a category. So my ad would be for the 10th one is the greatest Western miniseries ever.
Okay. Lonesome Dove.
Lonesome Dove.
Okay.
It has
good.
To fit in there because Lonesome
good.
Dove
what,
is
what
awesome.
Made that for me is when he said, I'll bury you, whatever, and he hauled that body all around. I don't know. That I thought, yep, that's something I would
and then
do.
When he got to the
I
end.
I gave my word. Because it made it think, when we give our word, if right. I tell you something, I don't care if you're dead or not, I'm going to do
but
it.
But the way he said yep. it, too, because he had him hugged up there, his body, and they had salted him, and he'd taken him all the way to almost to Mexico to bury him. And he said, well, That'll teach me, yeah. You know. You give your word on something, you got to do it. He's like he's having this conversation with Gus. It was like the conversation
he was
they had
talking to himself. I'm the one that said it.
That movie did a good job of showing people's flaws and that everybody knows it. And you know what? It's kind of okay. That's just the way he is. You know, they yeah. really played their individual characters.
Well, I just think for Robert Duvall, and that's kind of the same character he played in Open Range. It was mm-hmm. a similar character, but he was so good at it, and it was just so rich. And then the dialogue back and forth with him and Tommy Lee Jones is just – and they had several after where other actors played yeah. it, but it never was quite
you
the same.
You know what scares me? Where are the ones – coming along that we replace the Brunsons, yeah. the DeVoe, the ear.
I don't know
that we'll ever get back to that era of
maybe
greatness.
This podcast will spark
that's
a
right.
revolution because nobody's filming movies now because of coronavirus. So maybe we'll have one random person hear this and think, you know, maybe we could do a little better job. I mean, I'm telling you, the Westerns have just gone downhill.
The closest I've come to them is that little wheeler I've got parked in the yard with just gun barrels sticking out on both sides of the thing. And I'm traveling around in the modern world, 2020, But I do have the wheeler, and I am heavily armed.
It's like a covered wagon.
It's Western light. Yeah. Meaning, don't stop that wheeler and try to hurt the guy that's driving. Yeah. It's a gunfight.
And I mean, you do some tracking, and you know, yeah, so you do. You're out in the wilderness.
But the last good Western was Tombstone. There really hasn't been anything since
then. Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple that were okay. And look, that one I thought could have been better. That's why I just gave it the best one-liners. You know, I mean, I thought it could have been better. But their lines in Val Kilmer pretty much
made the movie. Yeah. What's interesting is they did another movie. You know how it is with movies? It's funny because I don't know if they know it or it just happens by chance or what. But so there was another movie about Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday that was made at the same time and released the same year. Mm-hmm. And in that movie, it's Kevin Costner is Wyatt Earp. But it was called Wyatt Earp. Can't remember one of the Quaids, Dennis Quaid, played Doc Holliday. Yep. Well, and I watched it. It's a good movie.
It is.
But when you're comparing it, it was The Big Loser. You know. So how many times you see a biopic and they'll have two of them the same time?
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it's a race. And
it was probably more realistic of a movie. But, you know, they're trying to make it more real. But, you know, some of them, like The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, it didn't seem that much realistic as it just was. Just every detail of the entire movie was just awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, now this is a movie. I don't know. I'd love to know how long it took them to film that.
Oh, it had to be a while. It was quite the tale.
Yeah.
Let's take another break. So as we all get a little bit older, inflammation becomes a problem. Was that true, Jace? Have you noticed it more as you've turned that big 5-0?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dad, you have children now that are 50.
Yeah, I know it. But in around here, everyone was raised. We're in an environment where all you have to do to excel and to be accepted is to be able to hit what you're shooting at. That's a big thing around here.
No, I think he means, like, when I'm running through the woods, I still run at 50. But before, when a vine would impede my progress, I just went on. Yeah. At 50, when it says, wait a minute, I'll wait a minute. Because the next day, there's going to be some inflammation.
We call them wait a minute vines.
Yeah. There you go. Well, look. So
they will ensnare a man.
So I don't know, Jace. We hadn't gotten you there yet, but Dad and I have been taking the product that
has really helped. I hope it's coming from muscles
It is.
They should put on the back somewhere, in my opinion. I know this is a small demographic for their target audience, but. Because I would find it helpful after frog hunts. It'd be great after the day after the frog hunt. Because frog hunting is.
This is good when you still go up and down in a boat and you're walking from one end of the boat to the other and you're going through the wait a minute vines and your legs begin to ache when you get in your 70s a little bit. But I think
the audience guys are talking about 20 people. So
I took these muscles and I thought, boy, I don't know what's in a muscle, but maybe
it makes
sense,
the science of it, right? A muscle spends time being a muscle. So anyway, Omega XL is what it's called. Great, 30 years of research. It's a great product. I've been taking it about a month. Dad's been on it a couple of weeks. We can already tell the difference.
Yeah,
promotes a healthy immune and it helps with inflammation, which is great.
It's the only pill I take.
That's right. There you go. That's just something right there.
I mean, literally the only pill I take.
There you go.
Is a muscle.
This is as good an endorsement as you're ever going to get. So you order now, you get your first bottle that you buy, but you get a second bottle free, which is great. So you go to omegaxl.com/fill. That's omegaxl.com/fill. Or you can give them a call, 800-844-4888. 800-844-4888. Omega.com/fill and feel better. So speaking of movies, Zach has had you ran for Congress. You've had a lot of stuff. You're only, what are you, 40?
42.
42.
I've done some things.
So he's one of our younger cousins, and we're all getting so old.
You're like the Forrest Gump of our family.
The Forrest Gump?
Forrest Gump. Yeah. You'd like show up
Have
in
you ever seen
places.
That movie?
No, he's way above Forrest.
Yeah, I'm Thank you, Phil.
No, I meant how he was in like history.
His acumen is far beyond Forrest Gump, Jason. I mean, come on.
He hasn't seen The Outlaw Josie Wells. That's dumb. That puts you in the lower region.
Well, he's different. What Jace meant was it wasn't the character. It was that Forrest Gump showed up everywhere. That's like Zach.
That's what I mean. All of a sudden, it's like you were at whatever.
Well, think about Zach's career deals. Plus, Zach is I call him the tumbleweed. I mean, he just rolls into one thing into the other. So he was a cheerleader, associate. Well, what was that whole thing?
I wasn't a cheerleader. I worked at a cheerleading camp.
Worked at a cheerleading camp.
Okay, there you go. That's the Forrest Gump ping pong.
No.
Okay. Ping pong cheerleader.
Zach's particular skill set, one of them, along with Al, they get together, and I call them, they're like cleansers, meaning when I say some things that just should not be said, they're the ones who clean it up.
Well, the fact that you've acknowledged that for the first time in your life,
it's progress.
Because I'm like, for years I've been the family member that was deemed to confront Phil when he said something like in his speech, and I'm like, that's a bad illustration. And they're like, well, go tell him. So I've had to go in there and say, Phil, you know, your heart's right.
Zach's
your point's
the
right.
One that heads up the soften that some.
Yeah.
Soften that a little bit.
Well, you just did a rant on In the Woods, in the quarantine with Phil.
I didn't think it was going to be a rant, but the old, you know, the Mark Levin type rant just came forth. And so Mark will probably tell you, he said, look, sometimes I just get a little wound
so
up.
So I watched the edit.
I got a little wound
up. I watched the final version of it, and I thought, yeah, that was pretty strong. So Dad tells me today, Zach, he said, yeah, they cut a lot of, they softened that quite a bit. And I said, whoo, because the finished version, I thought was pretty, woo, pretty stout. I said, so it was strong. He said, oh, it was more. I said, well, thank goodness for Zach.
I've always thought when you move out to the woods and you don't really interact with people and you don't have access to any kind of.
And you hadn't been to town in 3 months.
Yeah, and you don't have like, you know, normal social interaction, you turn into pretty much that's where the John the Baptist, that, you know, he hung out in the wilderness, ate bugs and ran and raved. So there you go.
So Zizak was so you went from that, you worked for a big pharmaceutical company.
Yeah.
You made a lot of money. You were good at that, I'm sure. But it's just the different things you've done I find amazing. Plus you're like really into apologetics and on the biblical side. So I've always marveled. But then Zach decided he wanted to run for Congress. Was that in 14?
Yeah, 2014, yeah.
And then, because you were young, so that was, I was 6 years ago. How old were you?
I was in my 30s.
36. So the problem was Zach was, of course, he was running here, and, you know, he was super smart, and obviously he's conservative, but like thinking man conservative, like, you know, think tank conservative.
That's
and
right.
Around here, it just, you know, they're just like, oh, you know, who is this guy? And so they tend to just kind of go for the guys.
And you actually almost won.
Yeah, yeah.
Without ever having done it.
Less than 1,000 votes.
But Zach, I'll tell you right now, I know I'm your uncle, and you've been around me your whole life, and your mother was my sister. She's on the other side now. But I sincerely have a phobia, maybe, or something having to do with towns. I don't like towns.
You do.
I just really
will
don't.
You help him?
Well, I'm just saying.
He's asking for help.
A lot of people say, well, you know, how often you go to town? Yeah. I said, well, we meet with the brothers one time a week. But all other ways to try to get me to a town. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to go there. I don't know why I don't like towns.
He's anti-town. Zach, tell the
there's people are tightly packed. It's
Jeremiah
like,
Johnson, it's Phil. He said, I've been to a town.
I'm just saying. And,
don't want to go back.
And all of the traffic and the signs and the red lights. Yeah. It's just.
Well, so when I go to like New York City, I feel that because I all of a sudden.
Oh,
when I was there, I mean, it was just like I
my
was.
My initial response
it
is
was
to
torture.
Run. But I don't know where
so
to run.
I saw Dad. We were in New York.
It was torture.
For doing some media or something. And so we were flying out of New Jersey. So when we went across that bridge and got out of concrete, and there was actually like a marshy, you know, Jersey kind of has some marshy,
yeah.
Sloppy look. When I saw Dad, just so, I mean, like, I saw him physically, like, because he saw water and grass. I mean, that's how tense you were the whole time.
And I'm thinking, I know good and well there's more people. I'm not the only one that just has this aversion to town or town life. Everybody's stacked on top of one another, and the buildings are going straight up. Thomas Jefferson, speaking of him.
Here we go. Was this a dream?
He said, I predict future happiness for Americans as long as there's open lands to go to. He said, however, if we ever get stacked on top of one another, like in Europe where we just left.
Right.
Because he was looking at this wilderness thinking, you know, as long as they can keep moving, he thought it was far bigger than it actually was.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can imagine. You first get here, you look around, you say, man. So he was just saying, if we ever get stacked on top of one another, we'll become as corrupt as they are.
I think he was right.
I've never forgotten that because I thought, you know what? That old guy, he had a head on him for sure, but he had it figured out.
He did. Mm-hmm. So let's take a break.
Don't stop and pile up on top of one another. It won't be good. Well, what do y'all think?
Let's take a break. And Zach, I want you to tell the story. Campaign story I want you to tell.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flare over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
So remember when you and Dad did Hannity,
yeah,
the remote?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Tell the audience what happened. So you're running for Congress, and of course, we're obviously supporting our cousin. And so
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, tell the story. Tell what happened.
So I came down here. We're doing a Hannity hit, but it's got the satellite truck down, and I was nervous about it. Not, I mean, because I've never been on TV before. Well, I think it may have been on once, but
especially national.
Yeah, national TV. I'm like, I've never. I'm riding y'all's coattails on this thing, and I was even more nervous because I knew Phil was going to be on with me. I didn't know what he was going to say, and he had been everywhere.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, well, everywhere we had gone before that, Phil would introduce me. Like I'd have him speak at different fundraiser events or whatever, and he would always introduce me as. The one who burst forth from his sister's loins.
Yeah, I've heard him do that.
It's just a way of describing how you got here.
I know.
That's how we all get
only
here.
Only Dad can turn that phrase and make it work.
With
you know?
Yeah. Graphic
very
detail.
Graphic detail.
I hadn't thought of that.
Well, then you were kind enough to ask me. You said, is there anything you want me to stay away from? I'm like, yeah, Phil.
You shouldn't have told him because that's
that's how he's learned to be the cleanser.
I've learned over the years. That's why I'm effective now. Because
I say nope.
I said just don't mention the sister's loins.
Yeah.
And I mean, it wasn't 5 seconds into the interview, and he said, "Hey, I tell you what, Sean, this one right here, we've vetted him since he burst forth from my sister's loins."
It was the open,
and I'm like, and of course, I'm just like,
I had forgotten that.
Yeah.
And Sean's like, "What?" What kind of? That's probably why I didn't make it.
Yeah, that probably was the difference maker. That was the loin vote.
See, that was one thing I had to tell Phil one time. I was like, because he would describe our sin, but he always did it the same way. And he would start off with just like, you know, typical sins, getting drunk and lying. And then all of a sudden he ramps up intensity and he's always rapists and murderers. I'm like, look, just leave those two out just because problem. Normal, the middle America, they're not doing that, you know? So just leave that
but
out.
But it's been effective. I mean, but your bluntness is very effective.
It is.
So look, I told him that. And so he gets up. We're you know, at the event, because I just said, I'm going to tell him to quit doing that. Just say all those other, because people miss your point because it's so graphic. So he's like, he gets up behind the mic. He says, well, on the way over here, my son informed me that I probably need to quit putting these two groups of people in the category of sinners, rapists and murderers. But I'm here to tell you, they're sinners. I'm like, that was not my point. You missed the point.
That's good.
So my moment was, we were on our way. We're in the back of a limo or SUV. We're heading to Fox and Friends to do a season hit for Duck Dynasty. And so the first episode that year was the one where John Luke is in the boat with his little girlfriend. And so you're giving him all the dangers of dating. And so
grandfather advice.
And so in there you had, you know, herpes, chlamydia. No, you didn't have chlamydia. You had these lists.
His list was.
He had a good list of sexually transmitted diseases. And so we're riding over to Fox and Friends, and I said, and we'd already seen the clip they were going to show. So I knew they were going to show it. And I said, Dad, you left chlamydia out of your list. And I'm just making it as a joke. And he was like, yeah, I wasn't sure how to pronounce that. That was the reason I left it out. I said, oh, okay. So then we get on there. And so Ducey's first question, he said, well, Phil, you know, your grandkids are on here. I mean, you know, how was it like giving your message? Because you said, well, Ducey, chlamydia, herpes.
Here we go.
And then he just went, and they're like, whoa. You know, it was so funny. And I thought, I was sitting on the thing, thought, I gave him chlamydia. He didn't have that one to put in there until I said.
I spoke at the Republican National Convention, and I reminded them of what those sexually transmitted diseases and how many, 110
million. Oh, that was CPAC.
That was CPAC.
CPAC.
Not saying it's not a problem.
They were all saying, there's no way there's that many sexually transmitted. Of course, I had read it from the CDC. I said, well, argue with the CDC.
What's funny about it, Zach, is that Dad comes out, so he's receiving the Breitbart Award.
Yeah.
And he comes out with that Browning shirt, which is now is going to go in a museum, Dad, by the way.
It is now in the Hall of Fame.
It's going to be in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame.
They got my shirt. I hate to see it go. But
we were glad to see it go.
That was a good idea, Al.
Yeah. I mean, because that's
I didn't like that shirt.
No. It was a Browning shirt, and they hadn't sponsored us in years. So Dad walks out, and he's got that shirt on, and he's got the camo bandana. And, you know, everybody there is like all the presidential candidates. It was 2016.
Yeah.
And so he comes out and he just starts right in on the, you know, sexually 120 million. And the audience is just like, whoa. I mean, like, you could tell, like, because they're used to the platitudes and blah, blah, blah of all these politicians. And Dad just comes out like with a meat cleaver. Whoa. You know, they didn't know how to deal with it.
He said, that's one out of three. Look to your right, look to your left.
Yeah.
One of these guys.
One of these probably got one.
I was just trying to get them to see that unless there's a change made in our culture, this is not,
you have a shock and awe vow, you know, because you do get to Jesus. And it's like even I was explaining about, because it makes people feel uncomfortable. I was like, well, Phil, there's some people who are, you know, dealing with these issues. You know, you're making them feel uncomfortable. But I know you're just doing it to get to Jesus, which it works, especially with people that have had really rough lives, because they kind of like somebody getting up there and talking straight, you know?
All I know for sure is I'm not the only rank heathen that's come out of a rank heathen background.
Yeah.
I think there are more than me. What do y'all say?
Yeah, there are.
Well, and
so you boys are in your 50s, and I'm not but 20 years ahead of you, 20, 25 years ahead of you. I'm not far ahead of y'all. But I can tell by just listening to y'all that you're softening the blow.
Well, I'm softening the blow because of 1 Peter 3:15. You know, Jesus, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have.
Oh, I'm fully prepared to fulfill that verse.
So. And do this with gentleness and respect. That's the next part.
What I'm calling,
that part gets
what you're calling gentleness, you and I, are, we're a little confused about gentleness.
Yeah.
I think I quoted.
Well, there's different roles. I mean, there's guys that have more of a prophetic voice.
So
that, I'm just saying that's in the Bible. I was a little nervous about trying to quote that because I didn't memorize that coming in here,
though,
but it does say, but do this with gentleness and respect. I quoted that to Phil before.
That was an ex-commercial fisherman talking, but also the Apostle Paul is the one who said, look, because they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gives them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They fear with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They're gossip, slanderers,
God
haters.
That's not the argument, but do this with gentleness and respect.
Romans 1, what do you think, Zach?
Stop. Well, so look, we didn't quite be able to finish this debate. We got a little, the discussion is going to go a little more. For those of you on our Blaze TV that are subscribed to our show, we're going to continue this discussion for the rest of you guys. And by the way, if you want to sign up for that, blazetv.com/unashamed is how you find out about that. Use Jace or Phil as your code. But we're going to continue a little more of this discussion since we got Zach here with us.
And go watch your Western.
And go watch your Western. So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook. And be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.